Welcome to Blight Bringers, a Legion of Everblight focused War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Ronlore, aka Tyrone, and I think Lilith 1 is criminally underplayed. Joining me this week is Wolf. Say hello, Wolf.
Hello, Wolf. As usual, I'm back. I'll be shitposting and being an idiot. Hi, all.
All right, and special guest this week, Swamp Mist from the Discord. How are you doing today?
I'm trying to think of something meme-y to say. Hi, I'm Zane, otherwise known as Swamp Mist and Relic6 on the YouTubes. I play Legion and Menoth. Their order should be reversed. I mostly play Menoth. I'm here because I'm trying to get back into Legion a bit. I'm probably waiting till after a coming team tournament because for that team tournament, the other two people playing Scorn. And so I kind of want to just be able to bring Menoth's answers to things Scorn are bad into.
Doesn't Scorn really just play Turtles forever?
So here's the problem. You lose to, like, Haley 3, also yeah. Haley 2 really hard, and it turns out that, like, if I play Legion, our whole team can't play into Signar.
Also, you'll just get really embarrassed because, you know, I'll be kicking your ass that entire time. Just saying.
Yeah, no, we'll end up playing into each other, and you'll just play Legion better than me because I haven't played him in a while.
Right on. Well, it sounds like it'll be a good weekend.
Yeah, it'll be fun. That's in a month, actually.
Cool.
Yeah, it is. Anybody, if you're listening to this and you're anywhere near Ithaca, New York, 3-man team tournament, come on up.
I'm excited for everyone who hasn't seen Schwanky play, get to see him do his half-hour Schwanky dance as he tries to maneuver an assassination and then gives up on it and loses on clock, being 70 points up on attrition. It's
sounds amazing.
Wow.
I look forward to this.
It's like, I'm playing Double Turtles. I'm going to sit here for a half hour, bottom of two, top of three, looking for an assassination that I don't need because I'm up on clock and up on attrition. Oh, I guess I'll give up this plan because I realize it's stupid. Oh, I'm down 25 minutes.
Beating Schwanky is like beating Haley 3. You don't actually have to be better. You just have to let him clock. Got this.
This is lovely.
We've just been trying to teach him not to, and it's hard. Do the same thing, to be fair. Like, he and I go to equal clock every time, because I do the exact same thing.
So what I'm hearing is we need a recording, and we got to put that on YouTube.
I would love to get the trash cord version of the Roundtable podcast. Oh, it would be such a meme.
State of the trash cord.
Straight out of the chat, yes.
Perfect. On a side note, for the Ithaca team tournament, my one buddy down there has an entire streaming rig. So I'm going to talk to him and we might be able to set it up. So we might actually be streaming like whatever top table or one random table all day. So that's a thing.
That'd be cool. Right on.
I shouldn't talk about chat. Hungerford's meme level is
I love this right now.
Are we outing Hungerford? Is that what's happening here?
No. We're outing Hungerford. He's totally like all up on the turtle train right now.
Oh no.
Hilarious.
It's so good. Come to the Discord to see Hungerford post. It's great.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, so in regards to Legion, if you recall, 2 weeks prior, we had an episode where we talked about we're going to get into Krissa, we're going to get into Legion. We asked you guys for some lists, and you guys contributed, and we're super happy with the feedback that we got. Well, we're going to go over Krissa, Conviction of Everblight. She is our newest Battlebox caster, as opposed to Lilith 1 from the previous edition of the game. She's pretty decent. We got Speed 5, Fury 6, Power Strength 13 on her 2-inch spear with Crit Sustained Attack. Spell list, we've got Cloak of Ash, Howling Flames, Quickness, Tactical Supremacy, and her feat, Rage of the Dragon, gives all models in her control range plus 3 strength, and the melee weapons gain continuous effect fire. What do you guys think about Krissa?
She has potential.
Okay. If we had any unit with something like Shield Guard, Shield Wall, that's the word.
There you go.
You know, something like that spell is amazing in any faction with a good shield wall unit.
It works well on archers. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, archers are kind of interesting.
Obviously, Cloak of Ash is actually really good because of Hex Hunters. It goes well on them. Archers are at least interesting, right? Because like a min unit of archers with a free UA is basically our second weapon crew. And I think it's actually better than the Scather crew somehow. When I think about that, when I think of it as like a 2-shot range 12 rat bunches POW
with reroll
16 with rerolls. Okay.
Yeah, not bad.
For 7 points in a free card slot, that's semi reasonable.
Yeah. I kind of like her just because she does have a decent spell list. Like, it's not incredible.
Two of her spells are good. Her nuke is mediocre. They printed a better version that does ice damage.
Sure, but that's just the way this game works. There's always going to be something better for cheaper. Quickness is bad. I don't see a reason to cast.
Quickness would be fine if she had a melee threat and like actually get into the fight and do damage. Quickness would be great.
If she had Weapon Master, quickness would be great. She could just have Weapon Master.
So I think you're right, but the problem is we have Sprint now.
You have Sprint and one theme, and I'm sorry, I don't think that that's game-breaking by any stretch.
I think it's at least interesting for her ability to go in, but like she doesn't have the damage output to do it either way. So yeah. I think if she had that damage output and could then sprint out, she would be like still a B minus, but she would maybe hit B.
Yeah.
Which would be great.
Yeah, so essentially what we're saying is like don't really commit Krissa. I don't think she's capable of really doing what you need her to do offensively by herself, but
crit sustained attack is hilariously bad. Yeah. That's not even bit around the
bush. Do not fish her crits.
Okay, so I'm gonna take maybe an unpopular opinion here.
Mm-hmm.
Krissa is bad at higher points. At lower points, or when you're learning the game, she will give you a lot of very important lessons about how the game works.
Yep.
Namely, how to keep your caster alive and what different abilities, especially things like Repo, where if you look at it and you're new and your first thought is, man, it's just a 3-inch move, this is stupid, how valuable that can really be.
I think the right place is the Bolt Thrower for her battle box. Because like you said, you just get to bully your opponent's heavies or lights by putting a POW 14 into them, backing up, and then doing it all over for the next like foreseeable future until the lines clash. That's not too bad to me.
And it's a battle box game, so the lines can clash in your table edge and be fine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's requirements, but like I think there's something to be said for the spells on her list. Like Howling Flames, sure, better versions exist, but it is a spray 10. It is a POW 12, and it does cause fire damage, and it's continuous fire as well, which is, like, pretty reasonable. Not necessarily in Battle Box, but, like, once you get to the higher points, if you got a Spell Martyr just kind of around, you can just throw one down the line.
It definitely could be reasonable in the Battle Box games, because even just boosting that, or you can lay it on a caster to get some chip damage, and, like, there are lights. If you're not playing against the Kador Battle Box every time, it's probably good.
Yeah, that's fair.
So we asked people for submissions for the Krissa challenge, and we got a couple lists. We're going to go over them at the end of the cast, so stay tuned for that if you want to hear about them. Some of them are actually pretty decent, despite Krissa maybe not being the best caster that we have. Yeah, that's a fair statement.
Yeah.
But right now, what we wanted to talk about, and I think the main point of the cast was, the newbie cast. So if you're new to Legion, as in new to the game to Legion, or if you're like Zane and you left and then you're coming back and realizing that, oh man, I was wrong to leave. This stuff is actually amazing. Like,
so
I want to give you some hints and pointers to like be better.
That's actually what happened with Menoth. Legion was my break from Menoth, and then I went back to Menoth because it was my original baby. And I'm coming back to Legion because I do still enjoy it, and I think I need to take a break from the fiery dirtily mans for a bit.
Also, we're better than the Fanatics, just saying.
I find that Legion pays a lot of points for the flexibility that each model has. Like in Angelius, it has Overtake, it has a gun, it has two initials, and it has Armor Piercing, and it's super fast. It has Eyeless Sight, and it has Flight. Like, all of these things add up to be a ton of points, but you kind of have the ability to choose how and when and in what way you want to apply your Angelius. And that's kind of universal throughout Legion, especially our beasts.
So I think that you have to note that Eyeless Sight is a really big deal on the beasts that don't have spray guns, and it's why they're probably a little bit more expensive than you'd expect, because Eyeless Sight on, like, the fire hand cannon from the Angelius is actually kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's like a range 12, POW 12. It's not bad.
Yeah, that honestly is something that even, like, Baby Haley and Grandma Haley have to kind of deal with, because they can't hide behind their cloud wall, and we have
Wraithbane.
I think that like it and the Bolt Thrower and the Seraph are paying points for having a gun with Eyeless Sight that isn't a spray, and the Ravagor too. Ravagor is actually the best, like, isn't paying as many points for it now, and it's actually a big deal for why the Ravagor is good.
Yeah, and it kept arcing fire.
Yeah, that gun is just super high efficacy for its ability just to be a good gun that ignores a ton of defense. Like, ignoring concealment's actually a huge deal.
Everything, ignoring stealth, ignoring clouds, all kind of a big deal.
Yeah, so, like, what you can do with your land heavies or your flying heavies is, like, charge through a cloud, which means they often won't place one, which is, like, you know, good and bad, but it is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it limits what your opponent is willing to do. Not what they necessarily can do, but what they're gonna bother spending the resources on.
It also means that if Morgul's popular near you, it's just, Morgul 2 and 3 just hate Legion as a whole.
Yeah, if I haven't found that out the hard way.
Yep. Turns out, you can't blind, like, anything, and even our casters.
No, the casters can, unless you're Lilith.
Unless you're Lilith, and sometimes you're Lilith.
Sometimes. That is a true statement. If you're new to the faction, like, you've never played War Machine before, you're looking at it and saying, hey, these giant dragons and spawn-looking things, or the ogres, or if you're into Nyss, look cool. Like, you're in the right place then, basically, is how that works. The things you got to realize when starting, and especially starting Legion, or starting this game as a whole, is you're going to lose. You're going to lose a lot. Like, that's not a, you're bad at this game. That's not a, oh, well, you shouldn't play. The game just has a high skill curve. Mm-hmm. And if you play against people who maybe aren't the best at teaching or don't know how to dial it back, you're just going to get your teeth kicked in for a little bit. And you're going to kind of have to deal with it. Like, that's just how it works.
I also think we need to talk about the fact that if you're a new player and you're jumping right into 75, that is much more likely when you're coming to, like, 75-point scenario packet tournament games.
Don't do that.
Yeah, compared to, like, I brought this 15-point list with my battle box and, like, one unit. I self-proclaimedly am terrible at taking that step back and doing that for new players, and I need to be better about it.
Yeah, so what do you guys think about if you have an opportunity, would you join a journeyman league right now?
Yeah, I wish I could get one going around me, but my locals all hate them.
I think if you're new, that's one of the better places to start because it gives you that opportunity to really grow up with what you're going to be playing. First step you want to do is pick, you know, your faction that you like, which hopefully was Legion. Good choice. Second thing you want to do is play a couple battle box games and just get the feel for what everything does. Sit there with the rule book open next to you. Don't be afraid to, like, look at every rule and how it works and ask questions.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you're going to learn things. Second of all, if you have a local community, if you're lucky enough to be in an area like I am that has a fairly active community of 15 to 20 odd people, reach out to them. Try and set games up. Try to just talk to them because these are the people that are going to help you learn and help you get the rules down. And don't be afraid to come on, like, the Discord or the Facebook group to an extent and say, hey, you know what? I'm new. This is what I want to do. Some people will give you really great advice and they'll be there to help you and they'll try and explain how rules and everything work. The other thing to realize, though, is that some people, while they're trying to help you, aren't necessarily going to be terribly helpful, and you kind of need to blow them off a little bit and not necessarily go for the salt right away. If somebody's like, if you really like Legionnaires, as an example, and even though I hate them and I might tell you they're a terrible unit, if you like them, then play them because you're going to have more fun playing units that you like and beasts that you like, even if other people tell you they're bad. Than you're going to have by just playing the stuff that idiots like me go, yeah, but this is really good and you should totally play it.
So I find that point really interesting because I think the War Machine community is very similar to the Magic community where we'll look at something and write it off and we won't look at it again. Or we'll just say, oh, that's unplayable or that's unbeatable. You know, but there's no in-betweens a lot of the time. So it's kind of interesting to maybe like take you know, allow a new player to take a unit and let them try it, and maybe they find something worthwhile. They find a little an application for them.
So I'm going to give a counterpoint here. Doing that can be really frustrating to new players as well.
That's fair.
Because this is a game where you, like, usually those cards that get written off end up as, like, $5 pack filler on eBay, right? Like, you usually aren't paying the good money for cards that nobody wants. In War Machine, maybe you find legionnaires for cheap on eBay or Bartertown. And if so, you know, go right ahead. The issue is when you're paying full price for a unit and then taking the time to build it and paint it, and then it's bad. And you are, and it's just not doing anything.
Yeah, I think going in with the knowledge of beforehand that it may not be ideal does kind of blunt that, which is good. Like, there is benefits to having the community consensus.
Not letting people proxy in their early games and before they're like a new player, I don't think should purchase models outside of the battle box until they've played like 5 or 10 games and gotten a feel.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I did it with 40K when I first started tabletop gaming. And I bought Eldar because I thought they looked cool and I liked playing elves in tabletop RPGs. And I didn't enjoy it because I didn't understand their playstyle well enough. And I wanted to play Footdar in 7th. And it was bad.
The age of Footdar ended at 3rd.
Yeah. And so you look at it and you go, huh. Okay. So I now have a bunch of Eldar sitting in my closet that hasn't been taken out for 2 years. Because I don't enjoy the faction. I don't want to touch them. And I think that that's a big deal. There is a stigma against proxying.
Yes.
And I think that that is a bad thing for new players. I think that new players should be allowed and encouraged to try out things that they think are cool and interesting before they buy them. Because if you're proxying Legionnaires because you like them, and after a couple games you go, okay, I haven't found a niche. These are actually bad. I'm not going to buy them until they get buffed, even though I like them, because I have limited money and I need to make purchases that can go towards a playable army. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I see where you're going.
I would caution against someone buying and painting a bad unit just because they like them. If you're on a budget, especially. Right? If they're just like throwing down $2,000 on Legion models, buy some Legionnaires. Whatever.
I think that kind of gets into another point, though, which is when you're starting, it seems easier instead of just going all out and saying, hey, I want to play all of this stuff because it looks cool. Talk to people who play the faction and either pick a single caster that you like and then build up with them, or pick a theme that for whatever reason looks cool to you and try to stay within that when you start.
Yep.
Or have an idea that that's what you want to go into. Because that will dramatically limit the things that you'll like impulse buy if you're sticking to, okay, I really like the beasts, therefore I'm going to stay in oracles, so you're not going to go out and impulse buy swordsmen and archers and scather crews because you go, man, they look cool. You're going to stick with, no, I wanted to play the beasts for this. This is what I need. So maybe the worst case scenario, you impulse buy a rake and rakes are still good.
Yeah, I would go so far as to say that generally I would go for a beast theme and a matching infantry theme if you're trying to get to the two list point. More so, I think that if you ever want to do an infantry theme, you can build the battle group theme along with it fairly easily. Because battle group models are also just the cheapest thing. At least in my experience, lights and heavies are cheaper than buying 10-man units.
Yeah, they are for sure. Like a light is 10-ish points in Legion and they're 17 to 25 bucks.
I was getting them for like 12 to 15.
Talk to your local store. A lot of them will work with you. And you're probably not paying retail anyway, so.
Yeah, it works out.
Yeah.
I think that you need to look at the game from it is a collectible model game, right? But we play the game over a GW game or an FFG or something like that because the rules are really good. So don't feel bad about proxying to make sure you're buying models that you have fun using and that you will probably play into the higher point level.
Fair enough. Legion is typically introduced to other players as a glass cannon faction. Do you think that's accurate with how Legion is right now?
Yeah. So I think that once Primal Terrors comes out, we're going to be shifting away from that in more large part. I think that we have the cannon down a lot. The Carnivian is still one of the higher, output things, especially if you can land something like Kiss the Lys or if you have a strength buff. Azreal still has the highest base pow on a gun, I think, in the game. That's why when people are like, Azreal's too expensive, it's like he literally has the highest base pow gun in the game.
Oh yeah, his gun is impressive, and it has reload, which is kind of incredible.
And thrown. Like, it's just a really strong gun.
Yeah.
I think we have the cannon down. The question will be, are we a fast glass cannon with stuff like
Angels.
Fianna 2 and Angels and stuff like that? Or are we the Thigrash 1 Animag PT bricky cannon?
I think, personally, that we as a whole are pretty glass cannon. I would agree with that. In that a lot of our casters, I'm not going to say all, but I think over half are on the lower end as far as armor goes. A lot of our beasts don't really get up there in armor and defense. I mean, we can skew defense with like Fianna with some of the flying stuff. It starts out pretty high.
Yeah, and we skew armor with Thagrosh and Animag, but...
Yeah, but we don't have a lot of ways in faction buff-wise to really knock that up. Like, I don't think we have any spell that buffs defense outside of like Cloak of Ash, which only works against living or, you know, gives you concealment, which is
we used to with Abby one, and then they made Flame God, but they gave her refuge to make up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't have a whole lot of spells that really increase armor. I think we've got Thagrosh one has his aura, Kallus has Unyielding for infantry, and then I think it's Animag, Thagrosh two, and Saren's Feet.
Fianna two has Iron Flesh. Oh, and Bracer on Abby, too, is the other arm.
Forgot about that. We're not like Signar, where we can pack a four-point solo and just say, hey, this gets plus three armor.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have the ability to really spread that out on a wide scale. So I think what that means is that we have to be more concerned with terrain, and we have to be more concerned with positioning than maybe your average faction. As a game, positioning is important for everybody. But I think for us, it's probably the difference between winning and losing a lot of games is exactly where you play things.
So I would agree. I also think that you can take it a step further and say that rather than us having to care about terrain, we are one of the best factions that using terrain.
Use and abuse, baby.
Pathfinder, the slipstream interaction with forests, which for new players is one of the biggest things to learn with Legion, is you slipstream a heavy... You put a heavy 5 inches into a forest, you slipstream them up to 3 inches in, and you charge stuff on the other side, and it's great. And it gives you this really solid threat that your opponent can't really deal with efficiently, because forests.
As a whole, I think, yes, we are a glass cannon, but I think we're getting some lists that get away from the glass part of that a little bit and actually give us a little bit of resilience, which is a thing we haven't had a whole lot of, so
yeah,
that's pretty nice.
I think that, surprisingly, if the Grosh 1 Animag becomes the pairing, I think Legion competitively is going to look not at all glass. But when you drop down from that, to, like, the mid-tier, like, the stuff that you're going to see as a new player, it's a lot of glass cannon. I think we have probably the most speed 7 of any faction except Circle.
We have a lot of it, and yeah. It's mostly on our flyers.
The slowest thing in Ravens is the Hellmouth.
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, the Hellmouth can't move, so I think it's the slowest thing all the time.
Tentacles are like speed 5? Yeah.
Yeah, they're 5.
So, like, everything else in the list is speed 7 to 9.
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Some of the beasts are obviously a little bit lower, but even then, it uses mostly our beasts that are 6+.
Okay, so we're glass cannon-ish with a sprinkling of resilience. We got the makings of a Mead Mountain coming around the corner.
I think what I would say is that, in general, I don't want to call it glass. I want to call it a fast, hard-hitting faction that generally does not have good attrition value.
That's a fair position to take, I think.
Like, when we tank, it's usually in stuff like Thagrosh's Aura, which means that you're missing the widespread staying power that Scenario wants compared to a faction like Trolls.
Right, yeah. So in regards to the other things about our faction, like I mentioned earlier that I believe Legion is probably one of the most flexible factions in the game with how we can make use of our units and our models and our warbeasts and everything. Like, they almost all of them have a gun. They almost all of them have a melee attack. There's different methods of applying our models where not necessarily that other factions have.
Yeah, okay, so you look at, say, the Carnivian as just your baseline beater heavy. It also comes with a spray 10, pow 14, which is not a thing that a lot of other beater heavies and other factions will have.
Especially not with assaults.
Yeah.
And rat 5 now, which is a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it gives you that versatility to say, okay, if I need to clear out infantry or if somebody's clumped up here, I can throw the spray on them, boost to hit a bunch of them, and clear things out. If I need to send this in to go kill a juggernaut or to go kill a dire troll or to go kill some other heavy, I have enough attacks to do that. Plus the assault spray can maybe clip a couple support guys as well. Even your base heavy can do multiple things in any given turn, which is not something that I feel like a lot of factions can do, and that we as a faction need to take advantage of more because of the higher point cost we pay for the ability to do it. Yeah. Like you don't want to have these rules and say, oh, well, I don't like using it because the rat isn't high enough, or I don't think it's going to do any damage. Like, you want to use it because it's there and you want to get the most out of it.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think Legion's really cool. And that's partly why, I'm so passionate about it, is like, we see a problem, and most of the time, if not all the time, we can just kind of finagle our way out of that problem. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a tricksy faction. It's why I think I took a break and went back to Menoth, which is a lot simpler. In that period where I was becoming going from a 0-4 player to a 2-2 player. And now I think I'm back in a headspace where I can start getting into the tricksy shit.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good place to leave off discussion in regards to how Legion plays and what kind of things we're looking at. What do you guys say to going over a couple of lists that we've collected from the community?
Yeah, man, let's do it. Submissions from people who will listen to this, because people actually listen to us and our opinions about Legion. So for the whole 7 of you that are listening, thanks for listening. You're great people, probably.
Awesome. All right, so I'm going to start. I got a list here from Justin Dawson. He built a list in Primal Terrors with Krissa, as we asked, using Azrael, a Blightbringer, a Bloodseer, Warmonger Warchief, the Forsaken, a Spell Martyr, 2 units of max Warspears with the Warspear Chieftain, and a Hellmouth unit. I think this list is really cool because of the way it interacts with Chris's feet. As a strength buff caster on her feet, gives the War Spears +3 damage because they are thrown weapons. So they get the +3 on their range attack and on their melee attack. So when they assault, they are super, super dangerous. I think it's a really clever usage of Chris's card. And the Blightbringer is there to back it up with the same thing. He gives extra strength, debuffs the defense and other things, whatever is necessary. The Bloodseer is great because it gives Chris a magic 8 on her spray, and he can cast the Blightbringer's Animus, which is pretty hilarious. I think this is a really clever list. What do you guys think?
I like this because, like you were saying, War Spears under feet and Blightbringer Aura are going to be hitting pow 20, which is pretty good. You've got the Hellmouth in there to keep control of scenario, so you can have your working pieces doing work. I'm not entirely sure I like the Bloodseer in there. It seems like a weird use of 8 points, but I can see, I guess, the use for it if you're going to use the sprays, or if you're just going to have it, pick up the Blightbringer Animus and then run at somebody so they have to swing at it. But what I really like about this is that between Chris's feet and the Blightbringer, if you get them both off at the same time, Krissa herself goes up to a pow 18, which, like we were talking about earlier, she doesn't really have a melee threat until you hit something like this, and then it turns out she kind of does. So she can go in and really put damage on something, or if there's an already damaged heavy from Azrael or the War Spears, she can get in there and kill it, and then quickness back out, and then go in with a bunch of medium base infantry to block off lanes to her. So she gets to play at being Striker 2 for a turn, which is, it's just adorable.
Yeah. She's also base mat 7. So she can use quickness to kind of go for a weird assassination. Nonlinear is really fun.
Yeah. The list is like the only infantry is the double war spears, right?
Yeah.
That and the Hellmouth, yeah.
I'm wondering if like, because I think that plus three strength feats are always interesting on is units that like having more units that want a strength buff than just one or two. Which obviously Animag having a non-upkeep strength buff fixes part of that problem. But I'm wondering if like a unit of Rotwings wouldn't be good in there somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I like the Forsaken is kind of clever with the strength buff because you don't see that guy coming. You think, oh, he's just that pulse, but he still gets to buy attacks, and yep. He's pretty respectable in melee.
Yeah, he's a POW 12 to start.
I believe I'm tempted
to play one with Animag because the bigger thing for me is that it's mat 5, and Animag just has Carnage. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good spell.
Yeah, I think Forsaken gets from 12 with feet to 15. If you're in Blightbringer Aura to 17,
oh my God.
So just being able to get 6 POW 17s on something.
Dude's scrapping a heavy.
Yeah, that can really mess up somebody's day.
Yeah, the only other thing I would try to change then is to fit a... Like, that's the other thing that Rotwings do, is they give that extra -1 def.
Right. Sitting Vulture is a neat ability.
Yeah. Although, oh, they have Repo now, though, so they don't need her spell.
No, they don't.
Nope.
What would you put Repo on in this list? Azrael, probably, right?
Azrael or Warspears.
Yeah. I think Azrael is the easy choice there.
It can be fine on Warspears if you're going up against like a heavy with like 8-inch threat. You just toss POW 15s at it.
And then back up.
Yeah. Not bad. So related to this list, I kind of took it. I liked the idea behind it, and I made a little tweak. I took the same idea, and I took Azrael, Blightbringer, Amok, the Spell Martyr, a min unit of Warmongers with Gorag, 2 max units of Warspears with Chieftain, and the Hellmouth.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see the same, similar.
Yeah, so Gorag gives you the defense debuff, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Blightbringer provides the same. You're still getting kind of the bonus that the Bloodseer brought with your sprays, thanks to Gorag. And you have a bit more output in regards to units.
Yeah, that seems good. I like that change, actually.
Yeah, I would do that, or I would try to go, like... single war spears, double birds, mongers, something like that. Try to fit a list like... I just really like Rotwings. I'm going to be honest. Those things make me happy.
I think they're super cool. I can't wait to see them for sure.
Pound 9 Finisher is such a ridiculous thing. It's like, they're 12-point weapon masters.
Yeah, the funny thing is there's been a lot of complaints about them because, oh, well, you need Deathstalkers to proc Finisher, or you need something else to proc Finisher. And it's like, okay, but you don't. Because if you're sending 4 in at a heavy, so the first one does on average 3 less damage, so the rest of them can do 9. That seems fine.
Or you shoot their target with a Blightbringer.
Yep, that also works.
Yeah.
And then the Blightbringer does the damage because you boosted its POW 15.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I guess you lost. I only rolled a 7 on my 3 dice, but you still lost 2 HP on your Kator heavy. Time to send in these POW 11 weapon masters that I spent 1.2 points a piece on.
With Chris, are their POW 14s?
Right.
Ooh, that's scary.
It's mean.
So those are my lists. I thought they were really neat. Thank you, Justin, for providing that one. Wolf, do you have one you want to talk about?
Yeah, I do. One that was provided by Nate M. It's an Oracles of Annihilation. So it's Chrissa, Azrael, 2 Nerifs, Seraph, and 2 Shredders as the battle group. Then it's 2 Bladedness Shepherds, Sorceress and Hellion, a Spell Martyr, a Forsaken, Wrong Eye and Snapjaw, and then a max unit of Hex Hunters and Belial. I really like this because with Cloak of Ash that Azrael gets as a bond, plus being able to have it as a spell on probably the Hex Hunters, with Wrong Eye and Snapjaw means against living things, like your Hex Hunters are def 16, 3 dice to hit, drop the highest.
Oh, God, that's disgusting, so actually.
They get stupidly hard to hit. And then you have your Nerifs that can run in, hit things, and then sprint back out. Or if they get stuck where they are, they're going to be def 16 with 2 dice drop the highest in Wrong Eye's range. And on feet
and
turn...
And you have Snapjaw.
Yeah.
So that after you go in with your Nerifs and stuff for their big feet turn damage... you have Azrael and Snapjaw on the wings to kill heavies.
Yep.
Oof.
And on feet turn, Azrael doesn't need to go in because it's a thrown weapon and her feet is +3 strength. he gets to just throw POW 20s for a turn, which is just stupid.
Oh my god, that list sounds actually good.
This is fantastic. I'm loving this more and more.
I really, really like this. Shredders can really pump damage out. You've got the Seraph for the threat extension. You've got the Sorceress for free charges, so you're not like wasting a Fury to charge. This just seems really good.
Yeah. Actually, I want to give a special shout out. Something that people seem to disrespect a lot is the Sorceress in Hellion and how good it is. Like, it has all these side rules, but the free charge is actually good.
Okay, in my experience, people only ever take it for the free charge, and they forget about everything else.
Yeah.
And I have, like, won games because this thing just has, like, the other spells and the other rules it has.
Oh, yeah.
Being able to shut down shooting is great. Hide behind an obstruction and just go, oh, hey, you're heavy that's sitting back here and half of this unit, yeah, they can't shoot anymore, or they can't aim and shoot. Or being able to put that 5-inch AoE of just, even if I don't crack armor, I do a point of damage, is really great, especially when you have, like, Ice Witch sprays or something else. You can just take an entire unit of Sentinels or Iron Fangs and Shield Wall and delete them off the board and not even have to roll damage dice for it.
God, yeah, Hex Hunters with Blightstorm?
Yeah, Hex Hunters with that will auto-proc Battle Wizard.
Oh my god.
You put that on a unit, they go in and just go, I didn't crack armor? Cool, you're still dead. Here's an extra POW 13. Like,
yeah.
That's just a stupid good interaction.
Yeah. So I meant more like people don't really factor in the free charge. They're like, oh, nerfs don't hit that hard. And then you factor in the free charge and the fact they auto-hit after the first attack if you charge and fail. And it's like, wait a minute. These things kill, like, warp wolves on average.
They're pretty reasonable, like POW 13, POW 15. And like you said, once they get a hold of you, they're just going to beat the crud out of you.
Yeah.
Like, you get one on a caster, they're dead.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yep. That was the Fianna trick when she was real big.
Yep.
It was the angels look scary with fury, the Nerfs are scary with fury.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's where I'm at. I'm like, I look at it and I go, this is really interesting because it plays a lot to, like... Because Krissa with Hex Hunters is just, like... the thing that Krissa does better than anyone else other than
the Thane?
No.
Sorry.
The Grosh one, right?
Yeah, he has Fog of War.
Yeah, so and even then, like, honestly, Cloak of Ash is better than Fog of War on them.
Yeah, absolutely, just because of what it does.
People are like, oh, anti-living tech isn't good, and then you realize that the meta is just full. Although, does Cloak of Ash work on undead? It's just living, right?
It's just living.
But with the meta shifting back to a lot of medium base infantry and a lot less jacks, Cloak of Ash is becoming money, and it's great.
The only issue with it is it doesn't work on Maloc.
Yeah, that's a specific case that, like, you know.
Oh god, if it did. Please, just roll 12s.
Please make Cloak of Ash better.
I wish. As someone who plays both Menoth and Legion, I want it to work on undead.
To close on this list, I think Hex Hunters, you're going to put Cloak of Ash on them. Azrael, again, is probably your attack supremacy target. Maybe Wrong Eye Snapjaw? Can you put it on them? Are they a unit?
No, it is friendly faction.
Oh, boo.
There are very few things that aren't.
Side note, I found this out. Banishing Ward is not friendly faction. So you can throw Banishing Ward on Croaks or Wrong Eye and Snapjaw and just be like, hey, not only can you not shoot them, but now you don't get to target them with spells when they're not submerged.
The weird thing about Banishing Ward is you can cast it on enemy models.
Yeah, you can.
Well, that's interesting.
Like, it's that one...
I've got this buff. No, you don't.
Yeah, and usually, like, that's not amazing. I play Menoth, where it's not amazing because we have a bunch of anti-spell tech already. But Legion goes, oh, well, this is still worse than Animag with Hexblast, but it's still really interesting.
Is this technically correct?
I think this is another technically correct, which we have two technically corrects then.
We do.
We'll get back to our second technically correct later, because it's pretty sweet. Those are two lists. Swamp Mist, did you see a list in here that maybe you caught your eye?
I feel like I actually want to look at Eric Easley's list, because we haven't looked at any Children of the Dragon lists yet.
Sure.
Yeah, man, do it.
The original version was Krissa with a Succubus, Azrael, Bloodseer, Bolt Thrower, Protector, Soldier, Zuriel.
That's a huge battle group.
It's nuts. Especially because the rest of his points is a Warlord, one Shepherd, a free Incubus set, a Blade and a Sorceress on Hellion, and then Min's Swordsman with UA. And then there was a suggestion to change it to Azreal, Bloodseer, Bolt Thrower, Soldier, Soldier, Zuriel, Succubus, Hellion, Warlord, Incubi, Ogryn Bokur, and Max Swordsman?
Yep.
I still feel like you want this Bokur should actually just be like two Martyrs and three Shepherds.
Just put some support in there.
Yeah, like you, I feel like, or you could do a Gremlin Swarm and two Shepherds, and your two Shepherds just live on the Bloodseer and Azreal. But I think that these lists are going to focus Shep Crystal pretty hard, but they're interesting because they're Children of the Dragon that is playing soldiers.
Yeah, soldiers have Precision Strike, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And like, when they have plus three strength, they actually do a pretty good job of just eating cortexes.
Delicious cortexes.
Yeah. Charging at POW 18 because Brutal Charge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So your dice off two average says you get 8 boxes on an arm 20 heavy. That seems pretty good.
Yeah. Succubus should just be 3 Sheps and a Spellmarter.
I think that's fair. That's reasonable.
Yeah, that seems good.
And then I like the Max Swordsman. They're not an amazing Cloak of Ash target as much as...
Yeah, they don't get stealth like the Hex Hunters, but like they go to defense 16.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. And more importantly, they're POW 11? 10?
11 base, yeah, so 14 other feet.
They're POW 11 Weapon Masters with Precision Strike. Like, it's just... And Cleave and Overtake.
Yeah, with the Warlord and UA, they pick up a bunch of rules that make them super dangerous.
Yeah, like, I think that Swordsmen are this thing that's really good that no one plays because they're in Children of the Dragon.
That's accurate.
Yeah, I think their other biggest problem is the lack of Pathfinder and the fact that we don't have a lot of ways to give that to units.
Yeah. Like,
you can beat Swordsmen just by positioning better than them, and that makes them really hard to justify sometimes.
Yeah, we don't really speed up units or give them Pathfinder, so it is kind of like, oh, you're outside of 11... Cool.
Yeah. That's why I've thought of doing Ryas 1 with them and Twins with them to give them stealth to get them there as well. But
yeah.
Yeah, Twins would work because at least there you have Onslaught, so you can get Pathfinder on the charge.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way we have to give it to units.
I think that this list, I think you could definitely make it better. I think that being able to take Zuriel with her is actually kind of significant because he takes a lot of her buffs well.
Yeah, definitely, like, Cloak of Ash on him, and he has the Precision Strike as well to cut out some more Cortexes. He has Quick Work, which is really nice.
I think that definitely I would look at trying to get... Incubus are interesting, but I think you do just want, like, at least Min Hex Hunters with Baal, probably Max, just because there are actually a reason to play her. I think they're actually a good deal for her playability.
I think Hex Hunters are good. They have a home with her because of Cloak of Ash. Absolutely. But we talked about Incubi a lot in the second episode, or the first episode, probably both, honestly. I think they're super clever with Krissa because of her feet specifically.
Yeah.
Giving them plus 3 strength, they hit at POW 17 combo strikes. So they start at 11, go to 14, go to 17. Like, that's pretty good for a model that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it. It's not the best because they are still mat 6. So, like, they're going to have trouble hitting some things, but, like, I think Incubi are underrated. So I like seeing them in lists whenever they pop up.
Yeah, I agree. And then I also want to give shout out because I'm a big Ravens of War fan, as some people know. So I just want to give a quick shout out to this Ravens of War list because, oh boy, do Raptors and Grots actually hit pretty good with her.
Yeah, so you're talking about the list from Aaron Wilson?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'd design it exactly like this. I think I'd go single Raptors and then, like, double Raiders.
But... Yeah, so what he has is Krissa, Azreal, Seraph, Raptors, 2 units, both at max, so unit of Grotesque Raiders, Min.
Min.
Yeah, Raiders. 2 Hellmouth units and a Swamp God Rebellious crew with a couple solos. We got Anissa, 2 Assassins, the Forsaken, and a Spellmarter. So you're thinking maybe take out a unit of Raptors for something else?
I would probably swap Seraph down to a Nerif or Naga,
yeah.
And then try to get to double max Raiders.
Okay. So that's 6, 24. Yeah, you could do that.
I think if you're going to drop a unit of Raptors, you probably drop Anissa before you drop, like, the unit of Raptors. Because I feel like the Raptors will take her buffs and, like, can go crazy with them. But Anissa doesn't feel like she does a lot there.
Yeah. It'd be weird. So you drop a Nissa, and you drop the Seraph down to a Naga.
Yeah, so that's 14 points.
14 points. So then you have one unit of Grots, and you need... Oh, and then you drop the Bellows crew and your other unit of Grots. Yeah.
Okay.
So you drop a Nissa, Seraph, and Bellows crew for maxing the Raiders, getting a second max Raiders, and a Naga.
You get another free solo out of that?
You might. Yeah, because...
Yeah, then you pick up a Deathstalker, too.
Yeah, so you get a free Deathstalker.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right on. So we liked a lot of these lists. All the ones that were submitted to us, we thank you from our blighted hearts, our deeply embedded thanks. And so thank you for contributing to our homework. This is awesome. We'll move away from Crystal, move away from getting into Legion and kind of what we do. But we're going to get into Technically Correct.
Technically Correct. Bum, bum, bum.
We started a bit early with Banishing Ward on opponents' models to clear off their friendly spells, which is pretty gross. And we got another one from Wolf. What do you have for us today? I'm excited.
Okay, so this is actually super adorable tech that we don't usually get to take advantage of a lot, but the fact that it's there means you probably should if you have the opportunity. Basically what happens is most of our flying heavies have Serpentine. So they can't slam, they can't trample. Normally, this isn't a terrible thing. It takes away a couple options, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's a good trade-off. You don't get knocked down, which is really all that you care about.
It's great. I've been playing a lot of Abbey 1, for anyone who's been listening to this knows, because I've been fangirling about her for weeks now. She's amazing. But she has a spell called Playing God, which, if you don't know what it does, she has three mutations, and whatever beast has Playing God on it gets to pick up those mutations as long as she has them. And what those are Ashen Veil, plus two strength, and plus one speed and flight.
Yes.
So you can hand out flight to any heavy. Now what this will allow you to do is our like Carnivian chassis. So the Scythian, the Ravagor, the Carnivian, or more importantly, Proteus. It gives them an additional speed and flight. A lot of people will look at this and say, okay, it is literally just a threat extender and it helps me with positioning. What it also lets you do is trample over things you wouldn't normally be able to trample over. So I was in a tournament at Black Knight Games on Saturday, and round two, I ended up going against my good friend Patrick, and he had Gorshade 2 behind a house and thought he was safe. Proteus had Playing God on him, trampled over two Bane Cavalry and one of the little chicken jacks to get within range to buy a tentacle to pull him out from behind the house, and then buy attacks on him. Because the way trample works with flight is you are allowed to trample over anything so long as you have movement to get past it. You count as impacting it, so they don't get free strikes against you, but you can still go over the top of it, which is not something you would normally be able to do to anything but a small base.
This is the fun best fact, thing ever.
Yeah, this also works with Abbey 2's feet, because you give all of your stuff flight. So you can literally go trample Scythians and Carnivians over the tops of heavies that are in your way and buy attacks on anything that's behind them. And it is just stupidly amazing.
I'm so happy right now. You have no idea.
I want to bring either Abbey 2 or Abbey 1 to game night like this week and just drop this on Schwanky and go, okay, you didn't kill my heavy. Because it was behind a house with feet up, and so you couldn't charge it. So I trampled over your turtle into range of Rasheth and pulled him out from behind his stupid wall and murdered his face.
Oh my god.
That's absolutely a thing you can do.
And you do it under Abby One's feet, so you're fully operational no matter what.
Yep, and that's the other thing is, this leads to a really kind of janky assassination with Abbey 1. You put Playing God on a beast, you feet, and then you just send it at wherever the enemy's caster is.
Yep.
Because they have to do 30 boxes of damage on free strikes to an armor 20 heavy because unyielding. And if they don't do it, you get to either just charge them and kill them, or you can trample, pull them out of wherever they happen to be hiding, and then send something else in to kill them. Where they thought they were safe.
I love it so much.
It's so dumb.
It's super dumb.
I got to do this at the Sioux to somebody playing Zol 1, my buddy Chris, who thought he was safe behind a house, and then he had Proteus and an Angel thrown at him. I've gotten to do this to somebody else I met at the Sioux. He was playing Denny too, and I just got to murder her because she was like, you can't reach me. I'm incorporeal and like behind a wall. And I just went, that's cute. I don't care. Like, the amount of stupidity you can do with this is just amazing.
I love it. Well, the Blighty community thanks you for your contribution.
I am happy to contribute to the Jank Tank whenever I have the opportunity.
Oh my god. So that'll pretty much wrap up the episode. We're going to assign a bit of homework. This is pretty chill. I just want to see some pictures of some models that you painted to kind of encourage any new players. We're asking you for a model from early in your painting career. It can be anything, like if it's a 40k model or if it's, you know, a Malifaux or whatever, like we don't care. We just want to see it. And pick a newer picture of something that you've worked on recently and just kind of show it as like encouragement and show that, you know, progress does happen and it's something to kind of work towards.
It's true. Also, I have an addendum to this, which I didn't tell Tyrone or Swampy about.
Oh, no.
But I have, at the Sioux, when I was there, I got a box of Warmongers. It's a min unit.
Yeah.
I don't actually need them.
Oh.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them away to somebody who posts these pictures.
Oh,
so,
wow.
If you, now you're going to make me do it.
I am going to make you do it. So post a picture from when you started and the most recent thing you've done, whatever you're most proud of. We'll take the pictures. I'll put them on the Facebook page. If you don't follow us on Facebook, you should. And I'm going to let the community as a whole vote on them. So do the best you can. And whoever gets the most votes, I'll PM you. Give me your shipping address. I'll spend the five-ish or whatever dollars it'll cost me to send this box out and get it to you as soon as I can as a thank you for listening, as a thank you for participating.
Well, that's awesome. That is super generous of you, Wolf.
Is it wrong that, is it bad that the Legion model I painted for last year's Adepticon looks about as good slash bad as the models I painted this year?
Maybe you're just amazing.
No.
You plateaued. You can't get any better.
And it's bad.
Right on.
Oh,
so
it's so bad.
That sounds about right, actually. That's how everyone looks at their own painting.
That's fair.
It's true.
Well, that's incredible. Thank you, Wolf, for that contribution.
Yep.
Happy to help.
All right. So that pretty much wraps it up. You guys got any closing thoughts on Legion and where we're going to go from here?
I actually want to make a request that's kind of homeworky.
Okay.
As a personal thing.
Oh, jeez.
I have a very eclectic Legion collection because I played it before Theme Machine, and then once Theme Machine hit, I kind of swapped back to Menoth because my Menoth collection was just more complete. And it was a little bit easier to play in themes. So I'd like to see some lists that spam a little bit less, I guess. Like, I own a single throne. What are some single throne lists you guys have? Maybe with, like, the Grosh one, who's one of our complete lists, because I have Typhon.
Okay.
Or what are some lists that you guys think are going to be a little bit easier to buy into due to the fact that, like, oh, I only have to buy, like, Ice Witch, like, at this point, it's like, oh, I have to buy just the new Primal Terrors box, right? Like, just that kind of, like, I'd like to see some lists that are a little bit more spread out, or like, pairings that are a little bit more spread out. Like, here's this Ravens list that plays, like, you know, one Hellmouth, one unit of Raiders, and one unit of Blades, because that's what I own, and then the rest is, like, Solos and Beasts, right?
Okay. Well,
all right.
Why don't
so
we do...
Lists.
Yeah,
so like some interesting kind of like low spam or even just like low cost lists, right? Like cutting down on things like cavalry.
So why don't we get a list of what you've got and we can kind of include it in our post for the week. And
yeah,
that'll give people a building block.
So what I'm hearing here is you want to run double Legionnaires with Ferelor?
Mm.
Got
that. I am not buying Legionnaires.
I will send you my Legionnaires.
Please, no.
I have two fully painted units.
I own Swordsmen, and I'm sad because I'm never going to get to put them on the table.
Well, we're going to cut it off there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the third episode of Blightbringers.